Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. This is the last day that we will be on Becoming a Person of Influence by John Maxwell and Jim Jordan. And I tell you what, this has been a great book. We're going to cover a lot of information today as we finish it up. But the fun thing is, next week, we will do a week-long program. It's on a book, brand new book, man, called Time Out: Winning Strategies for Playing a Big Game in Life by Tom Haupt, H-A-U-P-T. Tom's a friend over on Facebook, great author. You're going to love that book. But I want to dig in deep. I want to get this rocking today. Empowering people. We're on mentoring. We're going to cover two sections because they're the last. It's the third level of influence. It's empowering others. You know, when we're out here and we're rocking this thing forward, I think this is truly what it takes. And Jim shares a story. And he says they were on vacation. They said, when we got ready to leave, we packed up our belongings and swung by the rental office to check out along the way to the airport. But as we worked to get our bills squared away, we discovered that one couple in our party had inadvertently left their room key in their condo. I'm going to have to charge you $25 for the lost key, the desk clerk said. I had to admit I was a little surprised. We had been their customers for 8 years. We had spent thousands of dollars with them in the past week. Look, I said, I appreciate that you have this policy about missing keys, but the key is in their room, and if we were to go back and get it, we'd miss our flight. Can you just forget the charge? The man said, no, he said. The rule is that I have to add the charge to your bill. Even when I reminded him of our history with the company and told him that I didn't feel good about the extra charge, he wouldn't budge. In fact, he got more rigid, and I got really irritated. As I stood there waiting, I calculated in my mind how much money we had spent over the last years, and I figured out that he was jeopardizing our $100,000 history with the company for a $25 key. We finally left and paid the fee. On the way to the airport, Nancy and I talked about this incident, and I thought about how it really wasn't the desk clerk's fault. The problem was with the owner who had failed to train him properly. That kind of thing drives me crazy, she said. Some people just don't get it. You know who is just the opposite of that, she said? Nordstrom's is unbelievable. This is great. I just love this. I didn't tell you about what happened the other night, Nancy said. Deer Valley. I went down to Nordstrom's to get Eric a pair of pajamas. I picked up out some that I knew he would like, but told the sales lady, I need the pants hemmed, and we were just leaving on a trip the next morning. She didn't blink and didn't say a word. She offered to take care of it all. Wow. That was the only thing I bought, added Nancy. It's not like I'd spent a lot of money. She did it just for a pair of pajamas. Folks, think about this story for a second. Because the whole concept here is that we get so rigid over rules and regulations versus empowering others to go take care of something. See, that's the key. When you look at Nordstrom's mission statement, listen to this. We're glad to have you with our company. Our number one goal is to provide outstanding customer service. Set both your personal and professional goals high. We have great confidence in your ability to achieve them. Nordstrom's rules, now listen to their rules. Number one, use your good judgment in all situations. There will be no additional rules. Please feel free to ask your department manager, store manager, divisional, general manager any questions at any time. That is empowering people. You have to empower people. There's not a position I've ever held where I did not just tell people, follow that judgment. It's not because I'm somebody special. It's because I have studied some of the greatest leaders and greatest companies out there, and I realize that if it's all about people, and if you're really going to empower people, then you have to do that. You've got to let them go. And I'd like to tell you that I learned this in the books, all the books that I read, but I can tell you where it originally started, and it was in the Marine Corps. Because going through boot camp, as we started studying the missions, as we started studying the great battles out there, one of the things that was instilled in us is that there's the objective, now go take the hill. It wasn't a matter of follow these guidelines. It was a matter of go take that objective And I thought, man, this is what it's about with people. When you're growing people, that's how you do that. So what's it mean to really empower others? This is the key. Write this down. This is a takeaway moment. The act of empowering others changes lives, and it's a win-win situation for you and the people that you empower. Man, that's big. Here's another takeaway minute. I told you we've got a lot of stuff to cover, and I'm going to hit this stuff fast. Buy the book. You need to go buy the book, Becoming a Person of Influence by John Maxwell and Jim Jordan. You can get it off radio for your mind. You can go to Amazon, whatever you want to do. Listen to this. When you empower people, you're not just influencing just them. You're influencing all the people they influence. That's cool. Here's some qualifications of the empowerer, which is you. And you need to realize that you're going to empower people at different levels. Number one is going to be your position. You cannot empower people whom you don't lead. That's just short and sweet. You cannot empower people that you don't lead. So the first requisite for empowerment is having a position of authority over the people that you want to empower. And that's what happens most of the time in corporate America. The dilemma here, and if you guys really want to study, if you're in network marketing listening to this today, and you truly wonder, how can I lead my team? Don't look at corporate America for direction on that. You need to look at the religious community, period. Here's why I say this. Can you think of a larger, I guess we'll call it an industry, I can't think of another word. Can you think of a larger industry than the religious community where one man or one woman stands in a pulpit and leads a whole congregation of volunteers? They get thousands sometimes of volunteers to help in the church. They get them out there on mission trips. I mean, think about that. If you're all you are every day when you get up in network marketing, you're doing nothing more than leading a volunteer army. So don't look at corporate America who dictate based on power and position. Go and look at how the greatest leaders throughout history in the religious community led their people. It will amaze you. The second is relationships. This is the second requirement for empowering people. You have to have a relationship with them. Guys, this is so important. If you think about it for a second, relationships are forged. They're not formed. You go through all kinds of stuff. In the ancient Hebrew book of Proverbs, it says, iron sharpens iron like one friend to another. You build that relationship there. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, every man or woman is entitled to be valued by his or her best moment. When you value people and your relationships with them, you lay the foundation for empowering others. I think that's great. The third requisite is respect. Relationships cause people to want to be with you, but respect causes them to want to be empowered by you. When relationships break apart, it's because of a lack of respect either on one side or both sides. We see it in business relationships, personal relationships, it goes on and on. There's always a lack of trust. There's a lack of respect. This is so important, folks. The last is commitment. This is the last quality that a leader needs to become an empowerer. If you want to take people to that third ring in influence, and you want to empower them, then you've got to be committed. Can't be about you. Well, I've said this from the very beginning of this series. Influence and leadership is never about you. It's always about the people in which you're trying to influence. Sadly, most people don't understand that. People will try to have agendas. They still deep down inside because of this, I've been shafted before. They want to make sure they get somebody else taken care of beforehand. This is one of the reasons Dondi Scamanchi is one of the best oracles that I know. In the female form. I mean, she is so good at it in the books and what she speaks. It's because she understands it's not about her. It's about others. And I just love that. And I'll tell you, one of Dondi's best advocates, one of her greatest fans, her raving fans, that really drives my point home here, is her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law loves that girl and is one of her greatest Facebook fans out there. That's when you know you're empowering others. So you don't want to neglect this. You want to really focus in on the fact that you have to you're going to have a position, the relationship, respect, and then you're going to be committed to those people. That's the key here, folks. So how do you empower others to really reach their full potential? Write this down. I think it's important. Number one, you've got to evaluate them. When you're getting ready to empower people, you need to know where they're coming from. You need to know, and here's three things. This is very short. I mean, this is what I love about these guys, and this is why Jim has built such a huge organization in Amway. Number one, what's their knowledge? Think about what people need to know in order for you to be able to take them where they need to go. If you're evaluating them, you're going to know that. You're going to know where their knowledge level is. You know, you're going to know exactly what you need to tell them to cast the vision for them to get the big picture. See, knowledge is not only the power, it's empowering. You got to start somewhere. So you want to know what their knowledge level is. Number two, you want to know what their skill level is. Examine the skill level of every person that you desire to empower. See, if your job is empowerment, then it's to find out what it is that they require. Do they need more prospecting? Do they need more closing? You know, where is the weakness and who can you put them with to help them grow, to help them overcome that? This is one thing that I always loved about Primerica. Before you could ever go out and make a sale on your own, you had to team up with somebody else in the field. It was beautiful. And number three, their desire. You want to know, what is their desire level? Do they want it as bad as you want it for them? I'll never forget Todd Falcone one day saying to me, "Troy, I think I want you to succeed in Zango more than you want to succeed in Zango." And I said, "Yeah, you're absolutely right." Not too long ago, I left Zango right after Todd said that. We went on, we built something else on our own with a new team because he had said, "I think you lost your love. I think you lost your desire." And I wanted to see if that was true. See, that's the key here. He was very empowering for me. He's one of my closest allies in those early years after I'd left the corporate position and went back out into the field. He nurtured. He was strong. He was a dictator in some ways. He was a good mentor. The second thing that you do when you empower others is you model for them. You're going to lay the groundwork. They're going to see who and what you are. See, people can have the knowledge, the skill, and the desire, but they may need to see it in action. Just because they've been a great person they could have run a great corporation doesn't mean they'll succeed in network marketing, doesn't mean they'll succeed in running their own business, doesn't mean they'd succeed if they were doing pharmaceutical stuff. See, that's the key. You've got to model it for them. The people that you desire to empower need to see what it looks like to fly. And as their mentor, you have the best opportunity to show them. Model the attitude and the work ethic that you want them to embrace. Attitude and work ethic, those are the two things. And listen, folks, work ethic doesn't mean that you're working 24/7. Remember, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to our series on the other 8 hours and you'll study that. Go out there and model it right. Number three, give them permission to succeed. That's a big one. Give them permission to succeed. As a leader and an influencer, you have to believe in your people. Now, this is what frustrates me with some leaders in network marketing. They get to this point and then they stop because they don't want their people to succeed outside of their umbrella, outside of their brand, outside of their culture. And if you're empowering people, you're going to be modeling the way. You're going to be focusing the way. You're going to be lifting up leaders who one day are going to say, "I'm now an eagle and I'm going to step out of the nest and I can do this on my own." That's the coolest thing out there. So what do? You expect it. You make sure from day one that you're telling your people, one of these days you're going to be the one on stage. One of these days you're going to be the top dog. One of these days you're going to be out there with your own system. You're going to be out there with your own whatever. One of these days, I can see it. I believe in you. Give them that expectation. Visualize it. When you're sitting there at a big event, say, "Man, can you just see? I can just see it when you're cruising across that stage with that beautiful woman of yours. Man, I can just see it when we're out here on the lake together and I'm saying, there he is, man. I remember when he was just getting started. I remember when she was a single mom trying to make a living, and man, look at her today. multimillionaire, raising her family. She's got those kids of hers in the school that they always dreamed of. Visualize it. Then reinforce it. You can never go too much when it comes to believing in people. Some of the people that hate me the worst over my lifetime, I still believe in. I believe with just a little bit more, they can make it. With just a little bit of tweaking, they can become the person that they've always desired. I believe. I believe in people, even when they don't believe in themselves, even when they don't believe in me. And I'll reinforce that. I reinforce it with my kids. I was on the phone with my oldest son yesterday. And my parting words to him were, son, I know you're getting frustrated with me sometimes. I know that you get mad. But the one thing I want you to understand is that I've always, always loved you. You could hear his voice break. And he said, Dad, that's the one thing I've always stayed true with. I know that you love me. See, that you've got to reinforce it. When you reinforce it with people, then you empower them. Here's the number four. This is good. Transfer authority to them. And don't be sitting here saying this is the Rick and Bubba show the whole time. You get up there and you say, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn to fly. I'm giving you the authority to rock this thing out. Don't worry about what I think. You're in charge now. This is your destiny. This is your life. I'm here to support you now. See, the real heart of empowerment is the transfer of your authority, your influence to other people. As bizarre and as weird as this is going to be, man, the two best focuses that I've ever seen this on, where you actually see a transference of power in where influence is rules, is in organized crime and 1% or biker clubs. Folks, go rent The Godfather and watch the transference of power. Go get you a documentary on the Hell's Angels or the Sons of Silence or one of these organizations out there and watch how this plays out. You can even see it in the military, and here's the uniqueness. Both 1%ers are all ex-military guys. You honestly see the transference of authority in a very loving and powerful way 95% of the time. It isn't about holding on. It's about transferring it out. That's the key here. Number five, publicly show your confidence in them. When you first transfer authority to people, you're empowering. You have to tell them that you believe in them. You've got to let people publicly see, I trust them. Don't come to me, you go to them. They're now in charge. Follow them. It's a hierarchy of power now. Folks, that will go so far. That's true empowerment. That's when you're getting ready to go to this last level we're going to talk about in just a second. Number six, supply them with feedback. Just because you gave them authority doesn't mean they're not going to stumble. You did. So what you do is you give them feedback. Publicly, you praise them. Privately, you correct them. People that call themselves leaders that do nothing but bully, berate, and cut down people in public are not leaders. You praise publicly, criticize, you correct privately. I wish I could say I'm perfect at that, but you know what? I screw that up all the time. That's something over the last month that's really hit home with me from some of my tight, close accountability partners. And we're correcting that. I love training people because I get trained in the process. It's the coolest thing out there. Number seven, release them to continue on their own. See, that's the key. You have to release them to continue on their own. Because when you do that, that one final piece of the puzzle under being a mentor, now you've hit the highest level of influence, what we call multiplying. Where you start to reproduce other leaders. They start to take and work through the four levels of influence. It's not the power of duplication, it's the power of multiplication. You start multiplying leaders. Here's what happens to you, and this is what most leaders haven't caught on to, and I don't know why. But when you start reproducing and multiplying leaders, you raise your influence to a whole new level. See, anytime you influence people who are either who either do or do not or cannot exercise influence by themselves, and you've got to keep them under your wing, or you think you've got to keep them under your wing because you don't want them to go out on their own, you limit your own influence. But when you influence leaders to go out and grow something, to go out and do something, to go out and it's amazing. I'll give you an instance. I've been hard on a company called Data Network Affiliates. I'm still hard on this company because there's a piece of their pie that just is not what I call network marketing. But as I've got to know the leaders, as I've seen new leaders come on to the playing field with these guys, as I've seen them tweak out some stuff, as I've seen them listen to outside influences, not me, but other people, they've started to really bring in some unique stuff. They're bringing in cell phone, they're bringing in travel, not stuff that maybe I'd be turned on to in a company, but they're giving people now multiple streams of income under one umbrella. And that right there are the signs of, hey, we can't be an answer to everything to one person. Let's go out and exercise influence. Let's go out and influence people that are interested in telecommunication. Let's go out and influence people that are interested in travel. Let's go out and influence people that are interested in benefit plans. Let's do it all for free, and if they want to upgrade, great. I'm not, you know, saying go join this company. Lord knows that's the farthest thing from my mind. But what I'm showing you is they're reproducing, and they're bringing in leaders from all kinds of different backgrounds. Their leadership at the top has changed numerous times, but every time it's changed, somebody that knows their niche a little bit better takes the helm. You want to be focused on that. You have to reproduce leaders and raise your influence. The second thing, when you really are there, when you're multiplying and reproducing leaders, is the fact that reproducing leaders raise the new leader's personal potential. You're constantly showing them where they can be. I'll never forget Art Williams, man. He would bring people alongside of him, and to this day, in that company, they're still the leaders. He raised them up when they didn't believe in themselves. He believed in people. He didn't get upset when one, what he called a stud, was over here and doing $1 million a month, and this other stud over here was only doing $100,000 a month. He blessed them all and said, come on, you're doing all you can do, and all you can do is all you can do. And that's just the way he was. Reproducing leaders multiply the resources. You realize that when you reproduce and you're out there multiplying leaders, they're gonna get a new sphere of influence. When they get that new sphere of influence, listen, this is awesome. They get this new sphere of influence, resources that they're gonna pass on to you. Now, when you need something, you've got some new friends. This is like the rock solid deal, man. This is like cool. Reproducing leaders ensures a positive future for your organization. Man, this is, guys, listen, that's the biggest one. What happens when Donald Trump dies? Do you realize if he wasn't mentoring and bringing up his kids, let alone a whole lot of other people, that would just die? What's Robert Kiyosaki going to do? Think about that for a second. Bill Gates was the smart one. He brought in Steve Ballmer to run the company, and he showed people that Microsoft can make it without Bill Gates. We've already seen what the stock of Apple did when Steve Jobs took a little bit of time off. You've got to multiply yourself. So here's what you got to do. You've got to waken up the reproducer inside of you. You cannot reproduce others until you become a reproducer. You need to lead yourself well. Here's a great book you can buy. How to Develop the Leader Within You by John Maxwell. Powerful, powerful book. Another great book is called Visioneering by Andy Stanley. Those two books right there will help you become a reproducer. If you can lead yourself, you'll be able to lead others. Leading yourself is the hardest thing out there. But it can be done. Number two, you've got to look continually for potential leaders. And be looking all the time. It isn't about the masses. I don't care what anybody tells you. It's about quality. You need good people with leadership potential. It's not about pedigrees. It's not about background and what they've already accomplished. It's about heart. Great movie to go get. I mean, there's all kinds of them out there, but The Replacements with Gene Hackman, it's a great one. Keanu Reeves. It's all about heart. You got to put the team first. Great developers of leaders think of the welfare of the team before thinking of themselves. I have seen the downfall of more and more companies. Jim Collins writes about this all the time. I've seen great leaders that had great potential go down because it was all about them. It was not about the team. It's got to be about that. Being about the team comes second nature. As we close this out, here's seven questions you can ask. Number one, do I value others? Number two, do I value the organization? Number three, am I quick to give away credit when things go right to others? Number four, is our team constantly adding new members? Number five, do I use my bench players as much as I can? Number six, do many people on the team constantly make important decisions? And number seven, is our team emphasis on creating victories more than producing stars? See, that's the key. Commit yourself to developing leaders, not followers. Develop leaders, not followers. Folks, that's the name of the game right there. Moving from maintenance into the multiplication, taking it to that final stage, building what you're supposed to be, you got to realize that probably 20% of all leaders live on the lowest level in the development process. They never grow past it. For whatever reason, you're not going to be able to get them past it. They just want to stay in a survivalship mode. But if you can work them past that, if you can get through the sifting and the sorting, if you can build some synergy in them, you're going to be able to build leaders of significance. See, many people who hit this third stage of influence never go past it. They're great leaders in their own right. They can become multimillionaires. They can change the world. But they didn't hit their full potential. They've created a lot of followers. They didn't create a lot of leaders. They held their leaders back instead of kicking them out of the nest. If you want to hit that top level of influence and become a multiplier, become an influencer, then you've got to take it to that next level. That's the key. You've got to work within yourself. The only way to hit that fourth level of leadership is to work on yourself first. Folks, this afternoon, Dakota Ray is going to be on Aces Radio Live. This kid is a fireball. We've got him on there. You got to go to acesradiolive.com. You can read about Dakota over there. This is going to be an interesting show. I mean, a very powerful and interesting show. I think you're going to love it. Next week, like I said, Time Out. Winning strategies of playing a bigger game of life. Listen to some of these chapter headings. I think this is great here. Halftime, the game you've played so far. Designing better plays for winning the game of life. You know, this is, when you look at this, this is like powerful. We're going to do. We're going to be, each chapter is about different players in network marketing, guys that have made it from CEOs to distributors in the field. And we're going to cover them. Guys like BK Brieco, guys like Sherman Unkeford, Janine Shepherd over here. I mean, it's some beautiful stuff. Jordan Adler over at Send Out Cards. You know, this is going to be some stuff I think you're really going to get a kick out of. We're going to take it and drill deep on what successful people have done to build successful teams of leaders. That's the key. Folks, have an awesome weekend. Remember, Aces Radio Live this afternoon. I'll see you back here Monday morning with Jim and I on Radio for Your Mind. Have a fantastic weekend. Bye now.